It's halacha kufnun hey. Halacha kufnun hey, but we're on page kuf lamed zayin. The line of maisa. Kuf lamed zayin. We're on page kuf lamed zayin, the last line on the page. We actually began this last time, and we stopped in the middle because we got into a discussion. Okay, but all the evarim about the number 500, shakai. Man has 248 limbs, a woman has 252, 248 plus 252 equals 500. The gematria, what? Chazal new anatomy. Chazal counted 500. The gematria, peru, urvu. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay, man and woman coming together is 500. We discuss shakai, vanikel, shakai, pre, urveya. The brach that Hashem gave to Avram Avinu was in the name of Kel Shakai, because Shakai, the silent letters of Shakai add up to 500. How do you spell Shin? Shin Yud Nun. Shin. How do you spell Dalet? Delas. Dalet Lamet Saf. How do you spell Yud? Yud Vav Dalet. So take the last letters of each, the last letters that we do not do not appear, the silent letters that spell those letters, and you add up the numerical value, it comes out to 500. That's why when Hashem gave a bracha to Avraham Avinu, when Hashem gave a bracha to Avraham Avinu, that he shall multiply, he used Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai is 500, man and woman together is 500. We discussed this. Now let's go further. Let's go further. We review and we go further. Get Kuf, Lamed, Zayin, Les, Lain, Amayis, Chosin, Echad, Shoyim, Baruch, Al, Kol, Eivir, V'Eivir. Okay, there was a chassid, and he would make a special bracha. We're not familiar with this. To make a bracha, we only have the birchas, the 18 blessings that we recite every morning. The birchas ha-shachar, we recite on sight, on clothing, on matir asurim, all the things that we discussed last week. But over here, there was a chassid. There was a chassid who had the custom to make a bracha. I'll call Eiver the Eiver. Umikra Messiah. There's a pas that supports him. The pas, they really took him. Uvisari yirananu el kel chai. My flesh will praise the living God. Uchsiv, it says, kol atzmo say tamar nahasha michamaych, all of my bones. Maybe the reason why this basa, you know, that we say there are 248 limbs, but there are 365 sinews. Okay? There are muscles, whatever that means exactly. Sinews, Chazal say 365. Those sinews are in the category of basar. So maybe that's why we have two psukim. There's basar, yiranu, as el, kel, chai. Uchsiv, kol atzmo, say, tamar, nahasha, michamocha. And in fact, Chazal tells us that each one of the parts of the body, each limb and each sinew corresponds to a different mitzvah saseh and mitzvah loy saseh. Okay, so what is, for example, the gid hanoshe. The Gid Hanasha, which one does it correspond to? Yeah. Which one of the mitzvahs? I forgot already. The Gid Hanasha, Basa B'chol, I forgot already. Let's see. There are days of the year. Chazal like to make these parallels. 365 days of the year. There are 365 components in a person's body. There are 365 mitzvahs. Loisaseh, there's a relationship between each one of each one, the day, the mitzvah, and the body part. If only we knew which one was which, Chazal would say that we would. If a person, let's say, is not feeling well in a certain part of his body, so what does that mean? It means that you are lacking in this particular mitzvah because there are parallels. So instead of going to the doctor, specialist in this particular part of the body, you would go to a Talmud Chacham who wrote a sefer on that particular mitzvah. Okay, there are a lot of specialists today in halacha who write svarim on certain very unique topics. A person is a baki in ribbis. If you can discover that this joint in the body corresponds to ribbis, so instead of going to a specialist in this joint, whatever it is, you go to a Talmud Chacham who is a master in the laws of ribbis. He would look over your financial activity and he would tell you what the problem is. And that will be it. Okay, you don't need medicine, you don't need anything. And also on the day of the year, when that halacha specifically corresponds to, on that day of the year where that it corresponds to, you would give a donation to your local organization and you would take off from work and spend the whole day learning that sugya. A whole different type of world of how to deal with problems. You don't have to go to doctors, you go to specialists, talmidei chachamim, to find solutions. That's really what it says. That's the tradition. Unfortunately, today we have no clue. We don't even know the aleph beis, so therefore we have no choice but to haneg b'hem minig derech eretz. We have no choice to go and follow do what appears to be the correct thing to do. And this chassid would pray every single day on all the limbs shayavdu l'misha b'ram l'chvaydid. He would pray that the limb should properly serve the master, who's the master Hashem. I guess he means, of course, that he should have siyata d'shmaya to use that limb for the right purposes. I always worry about my fingers. I always worry because you use the mouse to go on the computer the whole day. You know, you shouldn't use the fingers to go to the wrong places, to look at the wrong things. Today, the fingers have never been more guilty of taking us to places where we don't want to go on the computer. How careful, you know, how careful you have to be careful what you type into the computer, because those digits are going to be held accountable for every keystroke that you take. Not Hashem gave us fingers to serve Hashem, not to type nasty comments on blogs, okay? Not to go visit blogs of Lashon Hara and worse, okay? It's not at all simple at all in our generation of why Hashem gave us those digits. Hashem puts in the heart of a good person not to sin. Hashem does not want to be called that a chet should not come through him. Shenemar lo yude la tzadik kol oven. He's over here throwing in a whole new principle. Megalin zuchus al yidei zakai v'choiva al yidei chayiv. If something bad has to happen, someone's got to carry it out. Who does Hashem select to be the messenger to bring to carry out things that are not pleasant? It's not simple. And furthermore, when something good has to happen in this world, who is selected? There are many people that could have been the ones to have done many things. There's so many. Even they talk about even the writing of the Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch was written, there were three people. This is the tradition. The tradition is that there were three people that generation that were eligible to write the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Yosef Kairoi. And there was a person called Ben Lev, and there was another Rav Tzedot, Titzdik. There was a third person. I don't remember offhand the exact names, but there were three Talmidei Chachamim in the generation that were at the level that were eligible to write the Shulchan Aruch. And the time came when there was a need. In the Skadnu Hadoris, there was a need that a Shulchan Aruch should be written. So why was Rav Yosef Kairoi selected to be the one to do the job? The Hashgacha Pratis came about. So there's a tradition, I don't know who the tradition comes from, but it's some tradition that because he was humble, he was extremely humble. The other two people, Talmidei Chachamim, they were very good people, but they did not reach the level of humility, me'oid, me'oid, heve, shefal ruach. The tradition is that in Shamayim, in heaven, when they felt the need had come in this world that man, a Shulchan Aruch should be written and a person should be inspired to do it. A lot of things that we do in life we don't even realize. It's just an inspiration that comes from above. And there was a person that was inspired to put into words the halacha. There were three candidates that could have been selected. The one that was selected to be inspired was Rav Yosef Kairoi because of his extreme humility. Megalgalin zichus al yedei zakai. And likewise, when there's a need, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send us a bid, a message of due to Shuva, things that are not pleasant that happen, who's the one? Who's the one that carries out Hashem's will? So there are people who unfortunately are selected because they're not with the program. And this is what he's throwing over here. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to merit. He writes in the Fisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nesin Belev Tovim Shloi Lachto Eloi, Hashem puts in the heart, he inspires people not to sin. Why? She'ein Megalgul Chet Al Yadai. Hashem does not want a good person to be the one that does Chet Shnemar Lo Yu'une La Tzadik Kol Oven. If a person works on himself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he helps him. You do yours, Hashem will inspire you, will protect you from not being nichshol in Lavera. Next, Yetzer Toy V'Yetzer Hara. We have two things in a person. Competition. There's always competition. Toy V'La Tzadik Sheroye Sheharosha Ma'arim Orma. It is good. He writes something very controversial. It's good that a tzaddik should see that a rasha is Ma'arim Orma, is clever, Limsoy to succeed in finding Tavas Nafsha L'Sho Achas. V'hu pa'amim meisa nafsha b'sakon b'avur tavas nafshoi v'pamachas. And it's good for a tzaddik to observe that sometimes a rasha is even willing to risk his life to do an avera. For example, kigoyin halistim haganovim v'anoyafim al sofik. There are robbers, there are bandits and robbers and people that commit adultery al sofik, and they may lose their life. Sofik over here means that they're doing things which may result in their death. If they get caught, they can die. Or the technique that they're using can lead to their death. So a person, a tzaddik, observes a rasha risk his life to do an avera, it's good a tzaddik should see this. Why? So he should draw a kal v'chomer. If a person's going to risk his life to do something that is an avera, how much more so is it worthy that I should risk my life, but it'll go the extra mile to do something that is righteous? Ani ba'avur HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenoyse le'ahavav tavas nafsham le'os levu. Have a faith that Hashem will give us reward. Le'ol me'olamim hano'as g'doylois, pleasure that is not describable. Mikol hano'os ni'ufim v'tanugim, much more than the pleasure this evil man has from stealing or committing adultery. Al achas kama v'kama sheyesh loy leharim, how much more so should I be clever in order to succeed in doing mitzvahs? I'll give you an example that's fresh in my mind. I just finished the biography of Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and someone asked him that he has a son, or they have talmidim that are doing very well in America. They're learning very, very well in Chutz Li'aretz and Yeshiva, and they're willing to invest more money for next year. They should continue learning in the Yeshiva with very good Rabbeim. Is it Kedai? Should we leave them in America? But they really want to come to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Or should they come and learn in Eretz Yisrael? So what do you think he would say? If you wouldn't hear the end of the story, I would think, run of the mill, he would say, of course they should come to Eretz Yisrael because of the Kedushas Ha'aretz. Right, the Avira, the Arab Machkim, this Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, they should come and learn in the Eretz HaKadosh. That's what I thought he would say, but he didn't say that. And let's put it into perspective. There are a lot of dangers learning in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Because there's not the best supervision. And there are a lot of nisyonos, and unfortunately, some boys don't do so well. They get into trouble. They get caught up in a lot of things that are not too good. Maybe in America, when you're under supervision of your parents and people in the community, sometimes it might be better. So he says something shocking. I couldn't believe what he writes. He says, they should come to Eretz. It's worth all the risks for one reason. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they will see what it means people to be moiser nefesh to learn Torah. The vast majority of people who are learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael are dirt poor. They don't have a penny to their name. They're mamish. They're living in poverty. Mamish poverty. And yet they're learning. They're learning. Not everyone learns that is happy with their situation, but a very significant chunk of people Ki heim chayeinu v'orech yomeinu. They're committed. Not like you hear in the newspapers, you know, everyone's a collector. There are people that are really, this is their sipur kai nefesh in life to learn Torah. Even though they're poor, a church mass, they have not painted their name. They'll never see that in America. They'll never see that in Chutz La'aretz, what it means to be moiser nefesh for the learning of Torah. And it's kedai, it's worthy. They should come and spend a year learning in Eretz Yisrael just to see this. It will stay with them the rest of their lives what it means to be moiser nefesh for Talmud Torah. Is that incredible? Who would ever imagine you would hear such an answer like that? And that's really what it says over here to a degree. He over here doesn't talk, he talks about, he doesn't say such pleasant things. He says, the Sefer Chasidus says, shocking. It's kedai, it's worthy for a tzaddik to see a rasha commit a crime, go and rob, commit adultery, commit a nilaf and all these horrible things, and to watch how his moiser nefesh for the few dollars in order for a little some small pleasure, so that the tzaddik should, it should strike him. If this is what a person is willing to do for a little pleasure, how much more so should I be meiser nefesh? I know better. I've been blessed to have an education where they taught me about olam haba. They taught me what it means emuna. I should know that what the real world, the olam hanitzchi, what it's worthy to be meiser nefesh, a little mesiris nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he writes over here. The ilu hoya yetzer adam yetzer toiv miskaber olav la'asos toivah. If the Yetzer Tov would overcome a person to do good, if a person's Yetzer, he writes over here, it seems something very shocking, is that the Yetzer Hara is much stronger than the Yetzer Tov. Let's not kid ourselves. It's a losing battle. For one very simple reason. The Yetzer Hara has a 13-year head start. What do you expect? Yetzer Lev Ha'adam ra min uraf. A person gets the Yetzer Hara the moment he comes into this world. And when does he first get the Yetzer Tov? When he's bar mitzvah. So it's a losing battle. You're always 13 years behind. Okay, 13 years of influence of the Yetzer Hara is not going to be overcome so quickly. It goes to show you how important it is to Mechan during those 13 years of Chinuch Habanim. Not the more you can suppress the child's Yetzer Hara in a healthy way without going overboard is critical. It's very, very critical because it's a losing battle his whole life. And the more you give in to the Yetzer Hara, oh, it's the kid, you know, let him do. Give him Tavas Libar. Let him have whatever he wants. You know, no restraint, no discipline. That's the trend today. The trend today is children, don't rock the cradle. You know, don't put too much pressure. You say boo, you know, who knows what's going to be. It's not so simple. It's not so simple because ultimately this child will get a Yetzer Tov. It will come a point in his life when the Yetzer Tov will say to the child, you know, it's time to be a mensch. But it's a losing battle because there's been someone there for 13 years telling him, do whatever you want. You don't have a care in your life. So now when he wakes up, if the Yetzer Hara has been suppressed a little bit during those formative years, maybe the Yetzer Tov will be able to succeed to some degree. But if the Yetzer Hara has been given so much authority, Shlita, during those years, it's really, really hard to overcome later in life.
But you really don't see it in the young children of the Yetzer Hara. I mean, generally, kids are cute. I mean, they're good. I mean, it's only when they're teenage and everything that
you only see a mashu of a child. You don't see his whole day, his whole life, his whole, you know, your children, you know. Your children, you pretty much know where they're holding. Someone else's children, you don't really know what's going on. You don't know what kind of life they're living. You don't know what's going on in their home. You don't know. You don't. And you can't judge. No one has the magic, you know, the solution. The magic solution for parenting. No one knows. That's why there's a trillion-dollar industry. Parenting. Techniques. what to do, entertainment, education. No one has a solution. Everyone is different. It's a very big challenge. But he writes here, it's important, but child is, you know, that's the tkufa of the child's life, of the Yetzirah. And eventually the child himself will realize there's a Yetzirah type, and will realize what his purpose is, but what can I do? I can't fight. I have needs. I have tithes. I have to you know, live also. It's very, very hard. It's not so simple. If a person would really know, he would, but he can't. Also, if a person really would allow the Yetzer Toiv to succeed, he would come up with all of these tricks and techniques to succeed. And the Yetzer of a man, the person who has in his hands to do whatever he wants, has, in other words, going back to the Yetzer Hara, is no shame. Ein tzarech laharim kol kach al hadavar. Avol kishein hayecholes biyadoi, las es mash libei chafetz, v'mnei ploni u'mnei ploni b'davar ploni, os tzarech laharim keitzad yase tavas navshay shlo yazik loy davar ploni. Okay, when a person has whatever he wants, so then he doesn't have to harm someone. But when a person, the only way he can get what he wants is by bringing harm to someone else, because there are people that are standing in the way. Then, because all of these things require great wisdom and require different techniques by these people who are seek these things. These people, they resort to incredible chokhmah, especially when it comes to kavod. That's amazing how people will do the most incredible things. And it's all wrapped up in righteousness, but in truth, he writes here, they're really trying to seek out kavod. As he writes right over here, the Eitzel Roitfim kavod, people who run after kavod, they come with these incredible techniques what to do, and they delude themselves in the thing they're doing l'shem shemayim, but it's really for kavod. When a person who's an observer sees how far a person is willing to go, he should use that as a springboard to do the right thing. V'tavas rega suffik, for the time of one moment, mashlichim nafsha meirecho machok, they will throw their neshamas down the drain. So a person should say to himself, v'kol shken ani, if a person is willing to resort to trickery, to all these techniques to get what he wants in this world for the wrong reason, how much more so should I engage in techniques and trickery to get my neshama in a good way to accomplish and achieve success in serving Hashem. You'll be sanctified. Over here he talks about the Kiddush Hashem, people who go to the extreme and they die al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, so the gist over here is that we make a kal v'chom, we see people that they do crazy things for kavod, for mammon, for their own pleasures in this world. So a person who has head screwed on correctly, and is a Yerush Shemayim, how much more so should be willing to be Meister Nefesh, to give up, to do things in order to achieve more Yerush Shemayim, and acquire for his neshama more merits in this world for the ultimate reward in the next world. Then just once he mentioned, I'll definitely, another thing that I saw from Stein, which also I found to be very, blew my mind, and there was a fellow who came to ask him advice. He said, I have a job, and I was offered another job, another institution offered me a better job. I said, I'm ready. And I got an offer for another job. And so what's my question? What's your question? The question, should I take the job? The disadvantage is maybe I have to travel more. Maybe the Talmidim are not as good. on pay is the same. So what's the advantage? So he said to Rav Steinman, the job that they offered me is much more covered. Much more covered.
So
Rav Steinman smiled. So he said to me, he said to him, you know something? It's amazing. And what's so disappointing is it doesn't say what he told him. It doesn't say the answer in the book. It doesn't say. That was something. So Steinman smiled and he said to him, and also he spent with him a lot of time, and not only did he spend with him a lot of time, he escorted him out of the house. He walked him out of the house and walked him down the steps. And he didn't do this for anyone. And the Gaboy and his children, they said, what are you doing? You never, this is a young guy, what are you giving him so much honor? So my take on it, okay, I'll tell you, I'm a nasty person. Okay, I'll tell you first what I have to say, I'll tell you what it says in the book, is the guy said there's more covered. He needed the covered, right? He said there's more covered. They offered me a better job. The job is the Talmidim, they are not as good, but there's much more covered to be part of, there's much more covered. So you see, the covered meant something to him. Rav Steinman gave him covered. He spent time with him and he walking down the steps. That's how I take it. But the book doesn't say that. The book says that the children asked my high. Oh no, it says that he actually said it to the person. So it says in the book, he actually said it to the person, check it out, it's in the book. He said, do you know how many people come and ask me this question every single day? They got a new job offer. I have a job, and they got an offer for a different job. And they come to ask me advice, should I take the new job? They don't really have a dilemma, they don't know what to do. And they never will tell me the real reason why they're considering taking the new job, or the real reason why they consider staying at the old job, is because of covet. They tell me all of these crazy things. Mama and the Talmidim, their wife, and my shver, and this. They come, this whole collection of things, and it takes me a lot of effort to decipher that the question is all about covet. The question is, the new job is covet, but there's no money. Or there's no this. The old job, there's covet, but there's no money. And it takes me a long, when I know that the key issue is covet, then I have an answer. Then I can give them the appropriate answer. We can work with it, and we can right away, I can tell them how I feel to be the correct thing to do. But no one tells me this. They tell me Baba Mises. They give me this convoluted, all these things, and I'm thinking and trying to make the calculation. I tell them, they can answer back, and this. And then finally I get down, when I'm Yoruba, they say, I'm going to show Dover. It's all about COVID. They waste my time. They come here and they waste my time with this. You're tzaddik. You tell me up front, Rebbe, it's all about covet. I need the covet, but I need the money also. What should I do? So Rav Steinman, I'm so impressed how honest you are. An honest man comes to me and is willing to say to me that word, that four-letter word. I know, I'm impressed. And that's why I have a lot of pleasure talking to you. And he escorted him. That's what it says in the book. Okay, I told you, my take on it is, he needs cover. Okay, but in the book, Elu ve'elu, however, but it's an interesting, what? That's what I say, right? He obviously, the fact that he actually said it shows he really needs it. He really needs it, so he gave it to him. But in the book, he's told him that he thanked him for telling me, you hit the nail on the head. What's really, your dilemma is really a dilemma of covered. You have an offer for another job. The job gives you dignity. Covered. It's not going to give you what you... Because they have a real dilemma. They really don't know what to do. It seems like they're very sincere. They really don't know what to do. They really do not know what to do. It's a very reasonable thing to do. You're a Rebbe in a certain yeshiva. The yeshiva has a very bad name. It's a very bad name. You know, you want to go marry off your children, right? You have shidduchim for your children. Oh, what does the shver, what does the father do? He's a Rebbe in this yeshiva. Oh, that yeshiva. Everyone knows that yeshiva is the troublemaker. It's all trouble. trouble. But you know, in that yeshiva, this Rebbe, he's mamish asipu kano. He really is able to accomplish very great things with those talmidim. In the world, it doesn't count for nothing. The world just looks at the label. Labels. If I'll go, I got a job offer to go to another yeshiva. In this yeshiva, this is a 5-star yeshiva. Wow, you remember this yeshiva? Woo, look at that. And what's my job in that yeshiva? To serve coffee. Okay, what am I doing in that yeshiva? I give them a job. The job there, I'm not going to have the sipah kana, but I'll have dignity. My wife will be able to walk around with her head up. My husband's a Rebbe in this yeshiva. My shver, he'll have nachas. My shver supported me all these years. And now, my Aiden, he's a Rebbe in this yeshiva. You know, it means something. It really does mean something. What should I do? I'll also feel good about myself. I'll also feel good. I'll walk in the room. People will stand up for me. Now I walk in the room. No one gives me a second look. But I know that I'm doing now has value. What I'm doing now, it makes a difference. I'm not going to have that same sipa kana. Maybe in the future I will. Maybe though, there's a plan. Complicated questions. They're not simple questions. And people will have real dilemmas. I don't know. Every case is different. You cannot generalize. Don't draw a line. You cannot generalize. Every situation in life is different. People have real dilemmas in life. And they come. There are people in America, we don't see this too often. But in America, they take Gedalia Yisrael much more seriously. It's a fact. In Eretz Yisrael, there is a very different level. It's a very refreshing. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, there's definitely still, I hope it should always be, there's definitely a very serious respect for a Rabbanim. Not like in America. America, you don't have that. Not Rashivas, not Rabbanim. It's Achas Bepev, Achas Belev. It's for the pictures. They're on the dais. Okay, I'm not familiar with the Sephardic community. I don't know the Sephardic community. But I just know what I see my own. I see my own surroundings. I go to Eretz Yisrael. People are scared. They really take it seriously. And you see that with technology. You see that in America? In America, every yokel has a smartphone like me. In areas, they're afraid. They're afraid. The Gedolim said, it's Osur. They don't have. They really don't have. It's not a joke. There are people that have, but even those who have,
very few and far between.
They don't have. Why? Everyone in America, their counterparts in America, they're not any frummer. They're not any more religious in America. The same exact thing. They learn the same. Not everyone is a big masmid. The same thing. They listen. The Gedolim have issued a ban. It's awesome. That's it. They're not playing games. I saw it with my own eyes. There is still, halavai vaiter, there is a certain respect. The Rabbanim are the Rabbanim. And people have dilemmas in life. They really take it seriously. They don't know what to do, and they go to ask a Sheilas Chacham. They go to a Talmud Chacham. They go to a Gadol to ask them. And this book is full of these very fascinating things. And it says that is an example. And here the Sefer Chasidim is mamish writing this, expressing this idea. If you see people who are willing to do foolish things in order for their own pleasure, how much more so should a person be moister nefesh to do what's right? To do what is right. I had this major argument with someone last week just about this point. The person is doing something, and I was trying so hard to convince him not to do it. To me, it's clear as day he's doing it for the wrong reason. And he just can't. He can't let go. Cannot let go. And I said, it's not the right thing to do. All right. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's take a very short break. Very short break. We're going to talk about lighting candles in the Beis HaKnesses. Parshas Behaloyzches HaNes. A very, very short break. Topic of in every shul. Every shul have in front of the Amud I don't know what you want to call it. You want to call it a menorah? You want to call, what's the proper word? Every shul, No, the Ner Tamid is something else. The Ner Tamid is a Ner Tamid. A Ner Tamid. But we, before you begin to daven, before the Shliach Tzidah begins to daven, they turn on the lights. Okay, the lights. Now, what are the lights? So in this shul, they have, what do they have here? I can't even see from here. They have something. Every shul has some type of menorah. An electric menorah. Okay, I daven in Chaim Berlin very often. There they have an electric menorah. They do not light candles. Probably one of the only few places still left in Flatbush. They do not light candles. It's electric. There's a button. You press the button, and then the bulbs go on. They used to have incandescent. Now they have LEDs. You know, they never burn out. They have a little new technology. But the bottom line is there's some type of menorah. Okay, in a lot of shuls today, they have a menorah. It's not enough. They like to light candles.
Oil.
Like candles. What kind of candles? So all different types. Some of them, they don't use oil. They use these paraffin. Paraffin doesn't make it. There's no odor. There's no fragrance. No, certainly not an odor. There's no fragrance. And there's no mess. And the lights very nicely. Maybe you'll show me there are shuls that light Ner Shem and Zayis. Anyone have a shul?
Yes.
You know of a shul that lights Ner Shul? Shem and Zayis? By a shul? Shem and Zayis?
Yeah?
And how many Neros do they light?
Usually two.
I know that in Tarver Das they have a candelabra. They have no electric. It's only the candelabra which has placeholders for Neros. When there is no tachnun, when there is tachnun, you say tachnun Tarver Das. When there's tachnun, two Neros, the two extremes. When there's no tachnun, they light three. So right away you know, when you say Ashrei, you can see how many candles were lit. What, is there such a thing? I don't know. This is what he always did.
So
this,
you have to know that by Havara, because somebody threw up a Shulah.
Right, but you see, before they start, they light the candles. Okay, I used to learn Tarvadasa many years.